The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity for her and said to her, "Do not weep." He stepped forward and touched the coffin. At this the bearers halted, and he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, exclaiming, "A great prophet has arisen in our midst, and God has visited his people." This report about him spread throughout the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding region. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning to everybody. So this is one of the most popular feasts of the year for all of you mothers who have sons that are causing you headaches. Okay, so happy Feast of St. Monica to you. And as I've mentioned, I'm always fascinated by the guy who puts together the readings and tries to figure out which readings are going to go with which feast day. The Gospel in particular, it's an interesting choice because it's about the widow of Nain. So Jesus is approaching this small town in Galilee called Nain. I have no idea where it is, but I think it's not too far from Nazareth. And he comes upon really one of the saddest scenes that was possible at the time of Jesus in Palestine, which was to have a widowed mother who loses her only son. Okay, what does that mean? To be a widow means that you have lost your husband, and therefore you will not be having any more children. So whatever child you have, that's it. There's no possibility of having more in the future. It also means that to a great extent, you may have lost your livelihood. And presumably here the child is grown, so perhaps he provided a livelihood for his mother, but that's gone too. So she is practically like an orphan. Nobody really to take care of her. She lost her husband, obviously with the heartbreak that is involved with that. Lost her son with the heartbreak that is naturally involved in that, with that. But also she is completely in the hands of God. And it's a very moving scene. And Christ, when he sees this, cannot but be moved. He's moved with compassion for her because the tragedy that he witnesses. He's also moved because it's an anticipation, and this is part of what Jesus does throughout the Gospels. There are moments that are continually either recapitulating something that happened in the Old Testament or foreshadowing what Jesus is going to do in the future or foreshadowing something about the church. And Jesus is also, in this moment, anticipating his own death and his own mother, who is a widow and has an only begotten son, and anticipating the heartache and the heartbreak of his own blessed mother. And what he does is he performs a miracle, which simultaneously is an act of great mercy. It's an act of his heart being moved with compassion for this woman, for her son. It's also an image, it's a foreshadowing of his own resurrection. The idea that Christ is the Lord of life and history, he has power over life and death, and this only begotten son will rise from the grave again and be restored to his mother. Okay, so there's all of this is taking place. Now, what does this have to do with St. Augustine? Well, St. Augustine was not an only child, but in a certain sense, you could say it was as if he had died. His mother, who is clearly a saint, Saint Monica, she must have been a great saint. She was a Christian, she married a pagan, okay? And seemingly, he had a brother and a sister. We don't know a whole lot about the sister. We know the brother was never necessarily baptized until later in life, but he seemingly lived a Christian life. Now, at the time, that was, at the time, because you only got to go to confession once in your life, they would put off baptism, even though they would live as Catholics. They didn't want to get baptized, which is the one where you have your sins forgiven, and then have to go another 50 years and say, oh man, now I don't get to go to confession except for once. So they would put it off. It was kind of like a strategic planning thing. And when they get really sick, oh, you better baptize me. Okay, that was kind of the thought process at the time. So seemingly his brother was one of those. But from the mother's perspective, Augustine, it had almost been like he died. He left the faith. He went off and he was a brilliant young man. He was actually that kind of young man that is best at causing heartache to parents because he's a genius and he has big passions and he's smart enough to out-argue you. So his mother lost all the arguments, but she was always right. It's one of those, like, you know, annoyingly smart in order to make up all kinds of convincing excuses why he can do whatever he feels like, okay? He had a concubine, he had a child out of wedlock with his concubine that he lived with for any number of years. He had a son named Adeodatus. And the son seemingly was actually even smarter than St. Augustine himself. The son was destined to become a great genius and luminary in the church. He died at the age of 17. But St. Monica, who pursued her son with tears and literally pursued him, they grew up in what would be modern day Libya, in the north of Africa. She chased after him into Italy, into Rome, eventually to Milan, and praying and weeping and sacrificing and doing everything to get back her son to the faith. And she had the good fortune to stumble into a fellow by the name of Saint Ambrose, one of the greatest figures of the Western Church. Saint Ambrose said to her, the mother of so many tears cannot go, I don't remember how he said it, but basically any woman who weeps that much over her son, God has to listen to that. And that's actually what happened. Due to her prayers and tears and the influence of Saint Ambrose, Saint Augustine converted. And when he converted, boy, did he convert. He's one of the greatest figures in church history. One of the greatest theologians, one of the greatest saints, one of the greatest influencers in religious life. For the first 1,000 years, he was considered to be the great church figure, basically, you know, behind St. Paul maybe and a couple of others, but the great post-apostolic church figure. One of the brightest lights that the church has ever produced. And so much of this redounds back to a simple and often hidden woman named Monica. Now, what does this say for us? None of your prayers and none of your tears and none of your sacrifices are ever lost on God. It can feel like we can go 10, 20, 30, 40, however many years praying for our children or for our spouse or for our loved ones and sometimes wondering, God, where are you? Why are you dragging your feet? Not a single prayer, not a single act of love, not a single sacrifice is ever wasted. And the reality is, obviously, each person, we have our own human freedom. So, you know, St. Augustine could have just simply up and rejected all those graces and been condemned and whatever, could have. But the reality is, you never know the moment of God. You never know. Some of you know, in the case of my own father, for example, my dad is, you know, I'm 53 years old, and died a couple of years ago. Basically all of my adult life, he was out of the church. In the last 30 seconds of his life, I happened to be present. I had planned the trip well before I knew he was sick. I just happened to be there in the last days of his life, and I was able to anoint him. The last 30 seconds of his life. That was not programmed. But what was that the result of? That was the result of a lot of people praying for him for a long time. And probably, you know, many of those people died before my dad did. Okay? And nonetheless, you don't know the moment that God has chosen. So, St. Monica, I think, is a great hope for all of you weeping women out there, even some weeping men. Okay, why not? You know, saints are universal. We can also dig into that. And let's continue praying for the conversion of all of our loved ones out there. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.